I'm Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm having some victory over being abusive and learning how to grow in empathy.
Hi, Daniel.
Yeah, so tonight's lesson has a short acronym, YES, yes. So you have a handout. If you'd like to fill that out, it will make obsessive compulsive people like me feel completed. So if you want my happiness to depend upon your behavior, please fill that in. And correct answers will get extra points. So we have a principle and a step. So I think we should have a slide on those. Could we read those together? Let's read principle 8 together. Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. In the Bible verse, happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10. Step 12. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, it's NFL football season, and if you're, there we go. So who's your team?
Steelers,
Pittsburgh. Awesome. Mine is the Minnesota Vikings. And yeah, so last year, I think the Vikings opened up with like 6-7 in a row wins, but this year it's 0-2. So it's humble pie for the Vikings. What can I say? I can't live vicariously through them, but they're still my team, and I will follow them and watch them on the instant replay. So in this lesson, you know, this principle is talking about yielding myself to God. So God has got a plan for my life. He's got a plan for your life. And his plan is a little bit odd. It's to use broken people to impact other broken people. If you've got it all together, you're in the wrong room. But everyone here is in a process of recovery. We want to be something different than we are right now. If you've been victimized or hurt by somebody else, you want to be able to come to a place where you can be willing to forgive that person. If you've been the perpetrator of hurt, you want to make amends for harm that you've done. So we want to be something other than what we are right now. And the great thing is, following these principles and steps, we can learn how to do that. So the other thing, in recovery, you might want to know, or you might ask yourself, you know, who can I impact? You know, whose life can I change? You know, how does my recovery affect anybody else? Well, probably the area of your deepest hurt, your deepest pain, your deepest regret, that's probably your area of ministry. So for me, one of my areas of regret is, you know, sensuality and using pornography to be excited. That hurt my marriage relationship. My wife felt betrayed. My children thought, what a hypocrite. He says one thing and he does another. So living in recovery, I've learned how to make amends. And I have a new habit, you know, a purity habit. And what I can do from God's word, it tells me I can dwell on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. And that's from Philippians 4:4 to 9. So I can tell my story of how I used to yield myself to sensuality and to pornography. And now I yield myself to purity. So we have to yield ourselves to something. We have to say yes to something in our lives. And in recovery, you'll find out what the antidote is to whatever your hurt, habit, or hang-up is. And it's always in Scripture, and it's really encouraging. You know, in my life, I yielded to anger, and I assaulted one of my sons in 2004, and then he assaulted me back a year later. And now, In recovery, I choose not to argue. And if I don't argue, then my anger doesn't rise up. And I'm yielding to something else. I'm yielding to keeping the peace. I'm yielded to not having to be right on every argument with every person. I can just let their statements go, and I don't have to respond to it. So that's a different behavior for me that I wouldn't have figured out on my own. Because my character defect was to win every argument with every person by every means possible, including shames and put-downs and exaggerations and sarcasm, all negative character traits, right? Coming to recovery, you find out the antidote to all that critical spirit is affirmation. So it's really nice to be affirming. And people like to be around affirming friends instead of critical friends. You know, I used to yield to the idea that my value in life was related to how much money I made. And now through recovery, I yield to the idea of being content with what I have. Just being content with what I have. So, you know, I might have a swell of envy over something else that somebody has. You know, somebody bought a new bicycle, somebody's faster than I am, somebody's richer than I am, somebody has a better retirement than I am. You know, I can dwell on that, or I can be content with what I do have, and I can count my blessings, and I can have a gratitude attitude. You know, I used to eat every tasty dessert and food that I saw, and now I yield to a healthy lifestyle instead. I count my calories, and I work out 4 times a week. And I'm feeling much, much better now. You know, one part of this lesson is giving away some of the changes, some of the progress we've seen in our own life. So with my cycling buddies and Facebook friends, I sometimes share my recovery adventure, and sometimes I tell them that I attend a 12-step meeting on Wednesday nights. You know, so they'll say, hey, come out, let's go for a ride on Wednesday. And I go, nope, that's Wednesday, that's my night for 12-step. And they'll go, 12-step? Geez, what did you do? And so if they're interested, they'll ask, and I can share. Or on Facebook, I can see somebody else posting something, hey, sober for 13 months. And I can say, way to go. You know, my last drink was in 1989. So I can encourage and affirm their progress and their recovery, and I can publicly state, you know, that was me too. That was me too. So early on in our recovery, you might want to be anonymous and not tell a lot of people. But eventually you get to a point where you've got some healing in your life, and you want to share with others the changed behavior in your own life. So when you are ready, go out there, you know, and let people know, you know, in a safe place that you trust, that you too are in recovery. You know, your friends and people you influence will respond positively to your stories of brokenness followed by hope. So if you're here in the room today, you've got some brokenness, and hopefully you're learning how to live in hope with some new habits. So don't be afraid to go out and share that hope outside of these walls. God will bless you for sharing what's happened in your life. So getting off to the acronym YES, you've got the handout there. So the first fill in the blank is Y, yield myself to God, yield myself to God. I like using dictionaries to find out what words mean, and you know, Merriam-Webster Dictionary has several definitions for yield that I find useful. So yield is to give or render as fitting, rightfully owed, or required. To give up possession of on a claim or a demand. To give up and cease resistance or contention. To give way to pressure or influence. to give place or precedence. Acknowledge the superiority of someone else. To give way to or become succeeded by someone or something else. You know, when I first walked in those doors, it was not my idea to be in recovery. I came in here under duress. My wife said, you go get help or the marriage is over. So I came in, didn't want to be here, didn't like the 12 steps, didn't like the teachings, didn't like the Bible verses. I thought I could do a better job. I could just do a one-step program called Snap Out of It. But after probably more than a year, I finally started giving in to what was being offered me. There were people that had hope, that had energy, that had a smile, that had changed lives. And I said, oh my goodness, if God could change them, maybe he can pick up the broken pieces in my life. Maybe I should trust him with that. Maybe I should kind of stop fighting these steps and these teachings and these testimonies. Maybe I should receive this stuff and start applying it to my own life and stop trying to take a shortcut and just really let it sink in and depend on it. Made a big difference. Made a big difference. So this yielding to God that we're talking about here is not a one-time decision. You know, every day when I get up, I have to decide that day, who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow my old selfish habits and get the same results? Or am I going to follow godly habits? You know, it's my decision and it's every day. It's every day. So when I wake up, I have to make that decision. Each person I meet, I have to make that decision. Am I going to be the selfish Daniel or am I going to be the changed child of God? You know, which personality am I going to be? Am I going to be following the Spirit or am I going to be following my old flesh? There's a Bible verse that goes along with yes, and it's Galatians 6:1. Do we have that up there? Let's read this one together. If a Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help him back onto the right path, remembering that next time it might be one of you who is in the wrong. So in recovery, you know, you will have setbacks. You know, your progress won't be linear and predictable. So if you have a slip up or a mistake, you're welcome back here at any time. We're not going to judge you. All of us have flawed recoveries. None of us have got a perfect recovery where we just snap out of it, you know, overnight. Most of us, it's a process. And that's why we like to celebrate progress with the chips every month. So our next fill in the blank is the letter E, and the fill-in is example. Example is what's important. Example is what's important. And there's a Bible verse that goes along with that. Let's read this one together. Let's see if I have the same verse. I have a 1 John 3:18, but you've got a 1 Timothy 5. Well, that's exciting. Let's read this one then, since it's on the screen. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. 1 John 3:18. So you probably heard the expression, talk is cheap. So people are looking at what we actually do with our lives. So people are looking at me, my cycling friends are looking at me. You know, if you're cycling and you're with me and you get a flat or a mechanical, I'm going to stop and help you. I'm not going to just write off and leave you there. So they look at what my behavior is. You know, if I go out to a place with my wife, I open up the door for her. You know, I've taught my sons that it's polite to open up the door for another person. They look at your behavior, and children will catch the behavior of their parents. Not so much what we say, but they'll catch what we do. You know, my dad used to be a practical joker. He was just a one-liner all the time. And he would tell me, do as I say, not as I do. Of course, he was just being facetious. So what are some of the actions that are important to me, you know, in my recovery? So I've show up every Wednesday night now for 20 years to worship, receive the teaching, take in a testimony, go into small group, reveal my struggles and victories, and pray for my accountability partners. You know, I've signed up for the next men's Bible, not Bible study, but step study. It's called The Journey Continues. It's the second in a series. Because I need to be held accountable. I need to be searching my life and my behavior all the time for character flaws. If I don't know what my character flaws are, I can just turn to my wife and say, "Honey, have I arrived yet?" And she will make a list of things that tell me I have not arrived to her ideals. So people that you love can very quickly tell you your shortcomings if you don't know what your shortcomings are. So this is a really a safe place to start working on your shortcomings. And it takes God's help, it takes God's spirit within you to convict you of wrongdoing and to convict you of right doing, to replace the wrongdoing. So if I don't continue to work my recovery, I'll just go back to default thinking and default behavior. I'll go back to using sarcasm. I'll go back to arguing with everybody on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And, you know, I'll have the same result or the worst result. But coming to recovery, I can confront that faulty thinking with godly thinking, and I can see progress in my life. So progress for me is being able to scroll on Facebook and not argue with every conspiracy theory. And I have friends with conspiracy theories every single day of the week. So progress for me is just letting it slide and quietly praying for them instead of arguing with everybody. Our final fill in the blank is letter S. And that's for serve. Serve others as Jesus Christ did. Serve others as Jesus Christ did. There should be a verse here from John 13. Let's say this one together. Do we have a quote? There we go, John 13. "And since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." John 13, 14 to 15. You know, I was just thinking about Jesus, and I mean, here's God on earth. So if I were God on earth, I would, from day one, do something fantastic in the sky. You know, I would maybe put in the clouds handwriting, "God has arrived," in everybody's language, so everybody on the earth would know, hey, I am God and I am here. Look at me. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. He spent 3 years with a group of 12 really close men and then hundreds of other followers, but he poured himself into these 12 people for 3 years, one-on-one. Yeah, he did miracles along the way, but mostly he was finding where people were living and inviting them into the kingdom of God and saying, you know, go and sin no more. And offering them some hope, something different than what they'd been hearing from their teachers before. So we can help others, maybe not as dramatically as Jesus did with his miracles or his teaching, but just in practical ways by helping each other out in recovery. You know, we go into these small groups and we have accountability partners. So if you get somebody's card, you know, pray for them and check in with them and be connected with them. You know, follow through with that. If recovery is really changing you, you might consider going to a step study and completing the step study. And then even consider taking the next step and maybe going to some training classes to become a volunteer leader like myself with a lanyard on. And if you've got the lanyard on and gone through that process, you can become a sponsor and start to pass on some of the change that you've experienced in your life to other people that are just like you in the same issue. You could even lead a small group. That's giving your recovery to other people. You could lead a step study that comes up. You could even teach one of the 26 lessons that we have. You know, if you've got a favorite lesson, you can approach the ministry leader and say, hey, I think I would like to teach that. And he may say yes. You could become a greeter out front. We have a position where people can greet those that come in every Wednesday night. You could volunteer in the kitchen, preparing the food, buying the food, serving the food, breaking down, making desserts, doing coffee. That's helpful to others in recovery. You could even invite someone that you know, could be a friend, a relative, a neighbor, a coworker, to recovery. You could invite someone to church in their spiritual journey. You could be helpful in that regards. And remember, God's not looking for perfect volunteers. God is looking for willing volunteers. And he will equip you if you just raise your hand and take that step and say, God, I know I'm messed up. I've got regrets in my life, but I'm in recovery. Can you use me? Just be willing to do that, and he will start to open doors for you. You can join the worship team if you can carry a tune or play an instrument. You could help with audio or visual. You can even give your testimony. And there's whole guidelines on how to do testimonies. You could work the info table back there and help answer questions for people that come and want to buy some of the literature we have on the back. We've got a Facebook group. You could become a part of that and encourage people when they post their prayer requests there. Or you could just simply volunteer at some task in the church that you are fellowshipping in. You know, the whole idea is to get out of ourselves a little bit and help others where we see needs. I remember talking to a ministry leader going, hey, we should have a website. And he goes, what a great idea. You can do it. So sometimes when you come up with an idea to help out Celebrate Recovery, the response is, good idea. Why don't you start that? I mean, that's how Celebrate Recovery even got started. This guy named John Baker, who was in AA and a Christian, he would go to AA and say, hey, my higher power is Jesus. And they would go, oh, too much information. At church, he would go, hey, I go to AA. And church people would go, ooh, one of those people, stay away. And so he went to his pastor and said, why don't we take the AA program, which has kind of been secularized, and bring it back into the church, you know, where it should be. And the pastor thought, that's a fantastic idea, and I have just the guy to lead it. And John Baker said, no, I want to attend something. And his pastor said, no, you start it, and then you can attend what you start. So he was unwilling at first, but he became willing, and God used it to create CR, which is now worldwide, all from someone who was just willing to make a difference. So in recovery, we say to keep your recovery, you have to give it away, which means you have to reveal that you are in recovery and that you have some healing, and God is the one that gave you hope and a new life. And so you have to share that somehow. So really, in summary, you know, with YES, Y is just yield myself to God. Put my hand up and volunteer and follow his program and his changes for my life. My example is more important than my words. And finally, serve others in some way, just as Jesus gave us as a big example. So may the Lord guide you and direct you to walk the narrow path of recovery this week. Amen.